This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Thank you. one reason why Muslim is preventing you from eating from the forbidden tree, the tree of eternity, because you may live forever in paradise. That's why Muslim is stopping you. Doesn't want you to remain forever. This is only this verse, the whispering of Shaitan. Promising what he promised to them. He swore to them. He gave an oath to them. He kept on promising this and this and that. He tricked them, basically. And today on this dunya, we get tricked every single day. We get tricked of our land, our property, and our iman. So just like he tricked Adam alayhi salam, that concept of what Qasamah, he swore allegiance to them. And Muslim today, we want good for you. We want to give you freedom and justice. We want to liberate your country. We want to give you a way of life. We want to give you the American dream. That's what we're going to give you. This is what I say to hell with the American dream. There is no American dream. Because the American dream is to kill your own people. It's to kill John F. Kennedy. It's to subjugate your own people. That's what the American dream is. That's what I mentioned previously. 1 in 3 young American teenagers have contemplated of committing suicide. Give them the American dream that you believe in them. 1 in 3 American teenagers seek hatred of the American dream, the American life that they live in. They want to commit suicide. Well, when we grab and we drink murky water out of people in those lands, they're rejoicing. And that's why Robert E. said this statement. But when he went in front of Rustam was the leader of the Persians. And he says to Rubi, what are you calling us to? Because Rubi was sent by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, what are you calling us to? What is so special that you people have? But then we saw the state of his companions. What do you have? What's so special about you? Will our people be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you out from Ibadat al-Awthan? Ibadat al-Wathaniyah, worshipping of idols, ila tawheed, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa min al-diqi dunya ila sa'atiha, from the wretchedness of this world to the expansion of the real world of the hereafter. That's what Islam is calling people to. Tranquility and peace, no matter what you possess of this dunya, to bring you out into the real thing. That's what the teachings of Islam is. So this trickery of Shaitan that we find of tricking Shaitan, of tricking Adam, then told again, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. Indeed, for both of you, Shaitan is nothing but a clear enemy. Then we are told, يَا بَنِي Adam, يَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ. O children of Adam, referring to us now, don't let Shaitan trick you. Don't let him deceive you. كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Like he took your forefathers, took your parents out of paradise. The son, the child, should only be smarter than their parents. Should never make the same mistakes. But unfortunately, we're making even more dire mistakes than Adam and Hawa. إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ throughout the Quran. For you, he's a clear enemy. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. Indeed, towards you, he's a clear enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ, all mankind. The Shaitan is an enemy towards you. فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوًّا. Take him as an enemy. Don't belittle him. Don't find it trivial. He is a clear-cut enemy. So take him as an enemy. And do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Never ever follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Never open the big door that leads to Shaitan that many people talk about. But at the same time, never ever open the small door. Because that small door is a continuous journey that eventually leads you to Shaitan. And it may sound something trivial. It may sound something, well, that doesn't really make sense. But through personal experience of life, that when person begins to do certain actions, then you know they're continuing that journey of entering into much greater things. Even a simple thing of cigarettes has been proven. Most people who take heroin, who smoke marijuana and cannabis, the journey begins with the taking of cigarettes. That's where the journey begins. So it may seem something trivial. It's only a cigarette, but that is the journey. It may seem only like a sip of drink, but that is only a journey towards alcohol and khamr. It may seem only a small, trivial relationship or friendship between a girl and a boy, and it leads to something else. So those small doors are the doors that should be even more seen, Because a greater dose, many people are aware about those greater dose. That is a war against creation, not just against Muslims, but against the whole of humanity. Ulama have written books called Talbis Iblis, the devil's deception, the deception of the devil. What is the trickery that Shaitan plays upon himself? The first trickery, or the first thing that Shaitan wants from individuals, the first thing is to commit kufr, to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give up Islam, and to commit shirk in its various forms. That's the first thing. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most people believe in Allah, but they commit shirk. That's the first thing that Shaitan wants, is to enter through that door. You find people who are civilized, people of Dakatira, people of Asatira, people are professors, people are literate individuals, people are skilled in their family and their science. Yet when they return home, they go and bow down in front of the statue. You say he's an intellectual individual, well-read, well-versed. But yet this individual worships an idol, because that is the deception of Shaitan. And likewise, we find is to commit shirk in all of its forms. Al-Riya, showing off, Al-Ujub, Al-Sum'ah, to be heard, to be respected by people, is another deception of Shaitan that many people fail to understand. To seek privileges and honor is a deception of Shaitan. And then we find the third tricky of Shaitan is to create innovations amongst people. People say, well, why are you so harsh towards innovation? Let people believe in whatever they want to believe in. As long as it seems something good, let these people do these actions. Sufyan al-Thawri said that the committing of innovations is more beloved to Shaitan than the committing of ma'siyah, than disobedience. Because when you commit sins, one day, as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned, رُبَّ طَاعَةٍ يَجِرُّكَ إِلَى مَعْسِيَةٍ. Your obedience one day could lead you to disobedience. How is it possible that obedience can lead you to disobedience? Because you become arrogant in your obedience. You think it's just me, myself, and I. I'm the only chosen one of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that attitude leads you to disobedience. And in the same way, he mentions the opposite. وَرَبَّ مَعْسِيَةٍ يَجُرُّكَ إِلَى الطَّاعَةٍ. And perhaps a disobedience pushes you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you commit a sin, many individuals that begin to reflect upon the light. Even the Anbiya, the ulama of Tazkiyah, they write that when the prophets made a mistake, they became greater individuals than before that sin. And that's what a Muslim is. Every time you fall, you get up and you strive harder. Because that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Returning back to Ibrahim, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ وَالتَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Adam received some words of inspiration from his Lord when he made that initial mistake. What are those words of inspiration? A supplication that we probably pray every single day, but we never seem to pay attention to it. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Our Lord, we have transgressed our own souls. Every time you commit a sin, that is zulm, that is a transgression upon your own self. So that's why the mu'min always prays the supplication, that we've transgressed our own souls. And if it's not innovation, then it's disobedience. That is the other door that Shaitan makes people go, Muslims go astray, is to make individuals disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the various sins. The major sins that we find that is striking the Muslims at the moment. Amongst them, we find is gambling and alcohol. How thriving is alcohol and gambling amongst the Muslims? When the Quran, if you look at Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Quran, verses number 90 and 91, you don't find no verse in the Quran like this, making something haram. And Allah subhanahu clearly lays out to stay away from this evil action or these evil actions. These actions, رِبْسُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ, is from the handiwork of Shaitan. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Indeed, Shaitan, through the use of gambling and alcohol and liquor, wants to create animosity and hatred amongst your own self. And take you away from the dhikr of Allah, and take you away from salah. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you not abstain from these evil actions? Then what other type of sins do you find common in our society? Well, I don't gamble and I don't drink. Illicit behavior. أَفْشَيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَعْمُرَكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَةِ. Shaitan orders you with poverty, promises you poverty. He says to you, don't spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't give charity, you will become poor. And likewise, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ orders you with all types of illicit behavior, lewdness, promiscuity, free mixing, sexual interaction, laughing, joking, all this with the opposite sex. It's all nothing but al-fawahish. It's nothing but evil things. Don't get me wrong. When these people, even Muslims, are talking about, we need rahatul qalb. Ya Shaykh, we need a time to alleviate ourselves. We need to be with the opposite sex to challenge one another. Fi tarbiyah wa ta'lim. In education, and the challenge is there. So I can challenge the woman. I can challenge the other sex. I need to relax my mind to be in fair speech with somebody who's sitting in front of me. Go and look at the schools around this country. You find a boys' entrance and a girls' entrance. Why do boys stand in education when it's only a boys' education? Why do they thrive in education? You place them with women, what happens to the same boys who achieve the same grades? Their grades begin to plummet. And if you want to challenge more boys, then challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created? And He's the most subtle and aware. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Zuyyina lin-nasi hubbu shahawati min an-nisa. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lying in the Quran? When He states, Zuyyina lin-nasi, beautified for mankind, is the love of women. So degrade that verse from the Quran and say that everything in society is acceptable. This is why we educate ourselves. This is why we have conferences. This is why we sit with women in front of us. We come on television with women in front of us. We debate with women. We sit with women. We drink with women. And when the older people are, we sleep with women. That's what's going to happen. There's nothing but afterwards. The deception of the devil. That's what it really is, exists amongst these people. Sickness in their heart. When you preach to these people to remove these obstacles, it's that we're living in a mental age. We're not living in the 21st century. Challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those precautions that He's laid out. The Quran states clearly, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Never ever go near zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't do zina. He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Never go near anything that takes you near zina. That's destroyed our shabab. أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. The thing that destroyed many of our youth in this country is women have destroyed them. Their lust and their desires takes them away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ. Man is tataqum, whoever amongst you of young men has the ability to marry, let them marry. It will protect your private parts. It will protect your chastity, it will preserve your iman. Indeed, marriage is half of your iman. And we're not harsh. We don't need to speak to no woman who's not a mahram towards us. That's the way we should be. That's how Muslims should be. This flirtatious speech that you find among sisters, the way you talk to a man. That's not the speech of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Never ever deceive your voice in front of a man. Even though we know that woman's voice is not Allah, but if you deceive your voice, treachery, this sort of love and affection, then that's forbidden according to the Sharia. You speak according to the Quran, Surah Zab, you speak clear words and words even full of harshness to a man who's not related to you. As for this flirtatious behavior, even under the describe of Islamic seminar, the way that people speak to one another, is not against the Sharia given to the Prophet Muhammad and his Talbis Iblis. Is the deception of the devil. That's what it does. It destroys homes. It creates rancor. It creates jealousy. Because when the Prophet Muhammad stood with Safiya and the companions walked past and they began to rush, and he said to them, take it easy. Or the words, paraphrasing them in today's language. Indeed, it's only my wife, Safiya, radiallahu ta'ala anha. They said, we're not really worried about that. Because we could trust you. And the thought may have come into their mind that the Prophet Muhammad is standing with a strange woman. He's standing with a strange woman that's not related to him. So he rebuked them and he taught them this lesson. And indeed, this is my word, Safiya. And indeed, Shaitan runs through the veins of a human being like blood runs through your veins. Never put yourself in a position of shock, of doubt, that people could accuse you. That's what a real man is. Never been placed in a situation. And at the same time, humbleness belongs. Love and affection belongs only to your spouse and your family. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. It will be when I say you're harsh, you're rude towards women. I don't care if I'm rude towards women, it has nothing to do with me. In my intimate family that Islam teaches you, your mother, your sister, your daughter, your aunts, your grandmother, and those forgiveness in everything else that you do, as long as you don't go over the mark. There is nothing that is foolish that opens the doors of innocent behavior. And like what we're saying, this war is ongoing, not even a hidden war. Indeed, he and his people and his tribe see you from where you cannot see him. And that's what the ulama said based upon the hadith, that indeed, the devil, Shaytan, Iblis, his arsh is ala al-ma', is upon the ocean. And his famous hadith, that his comrades, his soldiers go out in the land, and they come back and this one says, I made him commit this sin, I made him commit this sin, I made this one eat river, I made this one do this. He says to all of you, done nothing. And then going back to what I just mentioned earlier, then you begin to understand. One of them comes, he says, I made a man divorce his wife today. That's him when he's back and says, you are my companion, Uncle Sahib, you're my friend. Well done. Because divorce destroys a family, destroys a nation, destroys children. And that's what our community is suffering from today. People don't know the meaning of marriage. People only know an erotic love and affection. I love you. But what you possess, that's not what marriage is based upon. Shallow understanding of hope. Marriage is only based upon love and the hardship that you go through. The children that the woman bears. The raising of those children. The taking care of the family. That's what the Quran says, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa. Man is stronger than women. Not stronger in his physical nature. Stronger in his ability to control the house. That's what it means, a real understanding of the Sharia. But men today don't know how to take care of their families. That's why their women walk loose. Their women speak loose. That's their evil society, that Muslim society has become like that today. The real man doesn't have that in his house. But unfortunately, we want to follow these ways of life, and that's why divorce has become rampant amongst Muslims. If you read the statistics of divorce amongst Muslims, and even so-called practicing Muslims, over petty things, shallow things. Because that's what this society is breeding to you. Once again, the deception of Ghazwul Fikri, the mental capacity of this society, teaches you, I am a woman in my own right. I can get my own job. I can get my own funding. I can get my own welfare. I can get my own flat. I can get my own home. I can get my own state benefit. I don't need you in my life. What is that? Deception. If he's justified, then any sheikh will tell you, leave this man. But over something petty and trivial. And then other sisters will advise them, if it was me in your shoes, I would have thrown him out time ago. How can another Muslim, petty Muslim, a man never ever advise another man? Never advise another man to behave in such a manner. Unfortunately, a man will never speak to another man about such a situation. And if he doesn't advise him correctly, if it's to do with you, rectify yourself. Rectify your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give the two rights. Your right is according to the Quran and the Sunnah. Never turn and face another man, or do something petty, just go on and go and get married again and get on with your life. That's what we're living in our society at the moment, is once again the deception of Shaytan. And then we find that Shaytan, that he will come and make this change creation, change the way that we behave. I've been documenting that truth in Nisa. In the fourth chapter of the Quran, verse 119. وَلَأُدِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانِ الْأَنَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will misguide these people. I will create false aspirations in humanity. I will make them slip the ears of the cattle. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will command them and they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and read modern works of Tafsir. What is the meaning of changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Current day instruction on the map written. But some of you think we don't really know what's happening in society. The wearing of the earring for a man. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Change the natural essence of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To pierce one ear is only for a woman, for zina, for beauty. To pierce her nose is for beauty. The culture that she lives in is allowed. As for a man to pierce his ear, that's not from a Muslim's etiquette to behave in that manner. And like what you find, if that doesn't concern a Muslim, shaving. This is the evidence from the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, 4th chapter, verse 119. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. They will change the creation of Allah. Challenge any man who is faced with a godless to live in a land of Malaysia, Indonesia, where Allah has created him like that. The natural fitra of a man is his beard grows. That's the natural fitra of a man. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. You'll begin to change the خَلْق Allah, the natural creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if people come to a shaykh, you look barbaric like that. You look crazy like that. You look stuffy like that in front of a non-Muslim. And you tear yourself up. I don't care about those people. Because I know that I mentioned many times who I want to be with. And that's who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. So people look bad at us. That's the way we are. That's the way we're going to carry on our life and throughout our journey. We're not going to change that. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. And even if instigation of shaykh, not only is the beginning of, when was it, 1911 or 1914, when razor invented, Gillett invented the razor. And the first words that tells them, living in the jungle, who's already clean shaven. It's quite strange, isn't it? What's the first words that he learned? Razor. They saw the razor teaching these words. Since a baby's been in the jungle, his beard's going to be very long, he's clean shaven. Allah must have. And I know what the sisters are thinking, how does it concern us? فَلَيُغَيِّرَنَّ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. Ulama have said, according to the hadith, the plucking of one's eyebrows. Surah Al-Hashr, 59th chapter of the Quran, verse number 7, go and read that verse and go and read it to see it. Of Qum Ya'qub. And a woman who plucks her eyebrows. I'm not worried about women in the street. Practicing women who go and pluck their eyebrows. So what lesson are you going to give to other people? So you hear your own heart and not change. Even when I talk about women, you imitate fashions. You imitate dress. You imitate the way that you keep your hair. As these women who are barely out, far inside. If you imitate fashions of women who are liberal, who are immoral, who are prostituting in nature, who dress indecently in public, Muslim women can't imitate such a woman. Can't cut her hair like that. Can't dye her hair like that. Can't dress like her. Because you're taking them as a role model. Go back and read the works of the ulama. But I say we don't want to read the works of the ulama. We don't want to read those works. We don't want to follow those words. We want to pick and choose. The Sheikh was not even telling me a thing. If I want to serve my husband, I can. It's only a custom. If I want to, that's what women say. It's only a custom. It was a day of devil's deception. I've never found those words that Sheikh somebody tell me in my life. I've never found those words. Because the consensus of the ulama is that even though it's not obligatory, but out of the good nature of the meaning of marriage, fiqh is the word. The fiqh of the word. Is that the woman should serve the man like the man serves the woman. Or that group or those individuals. إنما يدعو حزبه ليكون من أصحاب السعير. Indeed, he's part